We'll be reading in just a moment from Acts chapter 8, verse 26, down to the end of the chapter at verse 40. Again, a scripture this evening comes to us from Acts chapter 8, verse 26 through verse 40. One of Jonathan Edwards' earliest books recounted the revival in Northampton that began in 1733. It was entitled A Faithful Narrative of the Surprising Work of God. And he wrote in that work, God also seemed to have gone out of his usual way in the quickness of his work and the swift progress his Spirit has made in his operations on the hearts of many. And yet, as Edwards recounts the work of God in Northampton in 1733, he makes clear that God had been laying the groundwork for this sudden and surprising work for some time. Here we're about to read of a surprising conversion, an Ethiopian eunuch. God reminds us that he has been at work long before him. He wants to teach us about the way he brings sinners to himself in Jesus Christ. I want you to be thinking about that as we read from God's word together. Before we read, let's ask his help in prayer. Our Father, we praise you for the wonderful grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For by grace we have been saved, not of works, lest anyone boast. We pray then that you would grant us a spirit of humility, a spirit of attentiveness, as we would read of your word and hear of your work. We pray that your Spirit would make it effective in our lives. Grant to each one of us exactly what we need this evening. And we ask this expectantly in the name of Christ. Amen. Hear now God's word, beginning at Acts chapter 8 at verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place. And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who is in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, Go over and join this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, Do you understand what you are reading? And he said, How can I, unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this. Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter. And like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. And the eunuch said to Philip, About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. As far God's holy, inspired, infallible, and inerrant word, may he add his blessing on it. We have seen in the Acts of the apostles faithfully preaching Christ to crowds, to the masses. And Luke has been describing people converting by the hundreds and by the thousands and making profession of faith in Christ. The gospel is going from strength to strength, from Jerusalem and now to Samaria. Notwithstanding persecution, notwithstanding the martyrdom of Stephen, the gospel advances. And in verse 26, we come to something of a surprise. An angel of the Lord comes to Philip, the Samaritan evangelist, and says to him, "Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." Why is that a surprise? Because this is, as Luke tells you, in an aside, this is a road to nowhere. There is nothing on the way from Jerusalem to Gaza. He has been preaching Christ in the big city, and the Spirit is going to send Philip to the sticks. God has been working in Jerusalem. God has been working in Samaria, and he is sending Philip in the opposite direction. You'd think Philip is indispensable to the work of the gospel in Samaria, and he's not. But one thing Philip is obedient. The Spirit says, "Rise and go." And Philip, without hesitation, without dispute, rises and goes. He sets down that ministry and he goes, he knows not where. And somewhere on that desert road, in the middle of nowhere, he meets an Ethiopian eunuch. We never learned the man's name. This is the first of three individuals, each in a row. The eunuch, Saul, and Cornelius. Where we witness what the work of grace in the life of an individual person looks like. Luke is setting down his telescope and he is picking up his microscope. Let me show you the work of grace in the life of a man, in the life of a woman. God wants you to see what it looks like when his grace breaks into a person's life. What does it look like to come savingly to Jesus Christ? I want to look at this encounter this evening. I want to follow it in the stages that Luke presents it. There are really three of them. And the first of these is preparation. We see that God has been preparing this eunuch in bringing him to the place where he will convert him through the ministry of Philip. What kind of preparation has God been about? Look at this man. How can we describe this Ethiopian eunuch? In the first place, Luke says he was the ultimate insider. Verse 27, there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. Eunuchs in the ancient world were trusted advisors in the court. They were trusted not to seduce the queen or ladies in waiting. And this eunuch in particular is a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. Now, you meet someone today whose name is Candace. That's the name their mom and dad gave them. But Candace is a title like Pharaoh. She is queen of the Ethiopians. And he is a court official among the elite of Ethiopian society. He is in charge of all her treasure. He is the secretary of the treasury, the chancellor of the exchequer. It is a very powerful and influential position. You control money, you have power. And this man has power. He is the ultimate insider. And yet Luke says he is the ultimate outsider. Verse 25. He had come to Jerusalem to worship. He had just been to Jerusalem, one of the great feasts. And he had been reminded that he was an outsider. How so? Well, in the first place, he's an Ethiopian. He is from Ethiopia, not modern Ethiopia, but south of Egypt, where the Sudan is today. What the Old Testament calls Cush, 1,000 miles from Jerusalem. He is a Gentile's Gentile. And so he did not have access to the innermost courts of the temple. He could go so far and no farther. And he is a eunuch. And because of this imperfection, according to the law of God, he was restricted further in his access in the temple. Deuteronomy chapter 23, at verse 1, God had said through Moses, "No one whose testicles are crushed or whose male organ is cut off shall enter the assembly of the Lord." He could come to the temple, but not too closely. So he is the big man at home in Ethiopia. But when he came to Jerusalem, everything around the temple said, "Friend, keep your distance. Not too close. You're different." And for all that, Luke says, this eunuch is a man who wants to know about God. How do we know that? We know that because he is making a very long and expensive trip to and from Jerusalem. It would take months to make this journey. You don't just pop off for a weekend and come home. And as he comes home, the savor of worship lingers. Luke tells us he was returning, verse 28, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. People then didn't have Bibles. Not on their phone, not in paperbacks. Bibles were rare. You had to have a lot of money to afford even a book of the Bible. And this eunuch had paid a handsome sum to get a scroll of Isaiah. And it was not a piece to brag to his friends, "Look at what I have." He is reading the scroll. God, you see, has prepared this man in his providence, distant and near, for this encounter with Philip. What does this tell us? If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, then look back over your life and you will see all of the ways that God in his providence has led you, has prepared you where you are today. your family, your friends, your education, your triumphs, your tragedies. God has interwoven each of those to bring you to himself and to grow you in the Christian life. The danger as Christians is that we think they're just there. They're just the wallpaper of my life. And in fact, God has brought each of these in exquisite detail in your life and has interwoven them for your eternal and spiritual good. There's a way to stir thanksgiving. There's a way to stir dependence on God. Have you ever looked back at your life and say, what has God done? And if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, here is a man who was fabulously wealthy, fabulously powerful, and he lived in a nation far from Israel where many of his contemporaries were happy to live their lives. And this man knew that he needed to know about God. And whoever you are and wherever you are, you need to know God. And the law tells you what it told this man. Keep your distance. Not too close. God's law tells your conscience, there is none righteous, no, not one. Not a one of us has the right to step into the presence of God and meet with his favor and acceptance. And God had mercy on this man. God didn't owe him anything, not for coming to Jerusalem, not for reading his word. God had mercy on this man, and God may have mercy on you. You're here under the word of God. Will you listen to the voice and the call and the invitation of your Savior? And that brings us to the second thing. We see preparation. And then we see a question, really two questions. Here is the eunuch, and he's sitting in his chariot. He is, verse 28, reading the prophet Isaiah. He is reading out loud, as people did in that day, the prophet Isaiah. And then Philip comes alongside him. He runs alongside him and hears him reading. This is not a feat of superhuman strength. He's in an ox cart. He's not going that fast. But it's an act of daring. There they are in the wilderness, in the middle of nowhere. And the eunuch looks down and there's a man who's run up beside him. And then the fateful question, verse 30, do you understand what you are reading? I wonder if you've ever thought of this question as I have thought of this question. You're seated on an airplane. There is someone next to you reading their Bible. What would it take for me to ask, as Philip asked this eunuch, do you understand what you are reading? That's boldness. And the eunuch, rich and powerful as he was, could have taken offense and say, friend, I don't know who you are. I have no idea why you're out here, but get lost. But look at what he says, verse 31. How can I unless someone guides me? And he says, come, sit with me. And what scripture was it in the providence of God that he was reading? Of all 66 chapters in Isaiah, he has opened in that scroll the 53rd. Verses 7 and 8. Like a sheep that was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. And then the eunuch lobs him a softball across the plate. Tell me, Philip, who is this man? Is this Isaiah, or is this someone else? And Philip begins, Luke tells us, to tell him the good news about Jesus Christ. Can you imagine the conversation? My eunuch friend, Jesus came as a sheep and a lamb. The Son of God came in meekness and weakness. He didn't have an easy life. He suffered. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. He was a righteous man, and he suffered for his righteousness. And he never complained. He embraced his Father's call to suffer like a lamb before its shearer is silent. He was cut off out of the land of the living. He had no descendants. Who can describe his generation? His life is taken away from the earth. Mr. Eunuch, can you identify with this? You have no generation. This Jesus is for sinners like you. What is it that he's done? He'd say, now scroll back just two verses at Isaiah 53, verse 5. We read it as our assurance of pardon. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and by his wounds we are healed. Scroll down a little farther, Mr. Eunuch. Verse 11 and verse 12, by my knowledge, by his knowledge, shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous. How can you, a sinner, be counted righteous? You know him, you trust him. And he shall bear their iniquities and divide the spoil with the strong. Read on a little bit farther, Mr. Eunuch, to the 56th chapter. To the eunuchs who hold fast my covenant, I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. He was cut off so that you, through faith in him, will never be cut off. What does this say to us? I think we have something to learn from Philip. Philip was a man who read this eunuch very closely. And Philip was prepared to give him what he most needed, Christ and him crucified. He didn't tell him, you're a very moral man, you just need to work a little bit harder. But he pointed him to the only refuge and righteousness a sinner needs or could have. He said to this eunuch, moral as he was, religious as he was, you're a sinner. You need Christ. Christ has come for sinners. He has died on the cross to pay the penalty for the sins of people like you. He bids you trust in him. That's a good word for us. Have you taken up that gospel call? And are you prepared to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ? But you know, you never outgrow this good news. The apostles preached this gospel not just to unbelief, but to believers. Because you and I stand in as much need of this Christ for mercy and life and hope as that eunuch did on that day. So is your trust in Christ and in Him alone? Are you clinging to Christ daily? Well, there's preparation. There are questions. And then we see conversion. We see the fruits of a sound conversion. And there are really two that are on display. And the first is his baptism, verse 36. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" Now, you may note in the footnotes of your translation, later manuscripts add verse 37. "And Philip said, 'If you believe with all your heart, you may.' And he replied, 'I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.'" It doesn't seem to be part of the original manuscript, but have no doubt a conversation just like that took place. This eunuch professed his faith in Jesus Christ, and he was baptized. And what's so encouraging about baptism? It's not that baptism saves you. It didn't save Simon the magician. It didn't save the Ethiopian eunuch. But it shows you the instinct and impulse of this eunuch. Jesus Christ had commanded baptism, and his instinct is to obey Jesus Christ. They're nowhere near a church. They're out in the middle of the desert. Perhaps you've seen Rembrandt's The Baptism of the Eunuch. There are all the pack animals, and there are all the attendants and servants, and they're in the middle of nowhere, and the eunuch's getting baptized. He doesn't want to wait until he gets home months from now. Here is a heart that loves Jesus Christ. And faith works by love, and he will do what Jesus Christ would have him do. And then there's joy, verse 39. "And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing." They probably walked down a little depression to a spring, and he's baptized. And then where's Philip? And you know the eunuch had to have been disappointed. Here is the man who brought him to Jesus Christ, and he's just gone. With all of the questions and all of the uncertainties, this man is going to a faraway place. He will be the only professing Christian as far as he knows. He might have thought he'd sink into a depression, but he didn't. He went on his way rejoicing because he's found Christ, and Christ will never let him go. And who is Philip but his instrument to bring him to Christ? Christ, the eunuch says, he is enough, and I will trust him, and he will never leave me. He is my prophet and my priest and my king. And it brings joy to him. What does this say to us as we come to a close? Here's what it means to be converted to Christ. As Luke brings this man under the microscope, it's not that you know things about Christ. It's not that you have read the Bible. The eunuch had been reading the Bible and did not understand what he read. It's not that you've had some kind of experience. It's not that you've been around other Christians. It is that you have closed with Jesus Christ as he is offered to you in the gospel. You have come to him as your Savior in repentance and faith. And in receiving baptism, you are saying, I obey this Savior. He is my Lord. And I will identify with him as his disciple, come what may. And if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have a never-ending source of joy in Jesus Christ. This man's joy was not because life was going to be rosy and happy and free of trouble the rest of his days. But his joy was grounded in Christ and him crucified. What do we sing? Solid joys and lasting treasures, none but Zion's children know. He thought about his life. God has been at work in my life, and I didn't even know it. God has laid hold of me marvelously in the gospel that he sent his servant to me to proclaim. What a magnificent Savior. He will never let me go. I have no idea what lies before me, but I know who is with me and who will never leave me. And so I rejoice. And so do you, believer in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how we praise you for your marvelous providence working in the heart and life of Philip, as you did, to make him the messenger of peace to this man, bringing this eunuch to the point and place where he should hear the gospel and in a moment have that heart of stone removed and that heart of flesh given, and the lasting fruits that your work of grace bore in this man's life. And Father, as different as we are from him, yet you do the very same things in the lives of each one of your children. So Father, keep us close to Jesus Christ, loving him and following him as our Savior, and rejoicing in him until we see him return. And we ask this in Christ's name.